Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a book that began its life as a weekly comic strip in the New York Times about the experiences of a group of refugees, the Aldebaran family from Syria, were recounted as if in real time. The strip, written by novelist Jake Halpern and art by Michael Sloan, went on to win a Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning. Now it's here in graphic novel form, called Welcome to the New World, Waking Up in Trump's America. Joining us on News Talk is Jake Halpern, the co-author. Jake, good afternoon. How are you today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
I have to say congratulations straight away. Being part of something that wins a Pulitzer Prize is fairly significant, isn't it?
Yes, I do. It is. But as my wife told me on day two, I still had to do the dishes. So it's pretty real here still in the Halpern household.
I'm glad to hear that. She's there to keep you in check, obviously, because she's a lot to keep you in check for. Because I also saw that your hour-long radio story, Switched at Birth, is one of NPR's 10 most popular shows of all time, Jake.
Yes. It's an interesting, also a family saga. I love stories in which you really kind of delve into all the inner dynamics between siblings and parents and that kind of thing.
So where did this story come from?
So this story began really for me back in the fall of 2016, but really about 4 years ago exactly. And an editor that I know at the New York Times said, Jake, what would you think about reporting on a story of a family arriving from Syria in the United States, but doing it in graphic form or comic form? And I said, oh, that sounds really cool, but you know, I can't draw. And he said, yeah, you'd have to find an illustrator and you would report the story and write it, and then the illustrator would draw it. So I was intrigued, and I reached out to our local refugee resettlement agency, and they said, hey, we have a family that's arriving on election day. Why don't you be there when they land? And so when the family landed, I was there. I met them. I went home that night, and I remember I checked the news around 2:30 in the morning to this headline that Trump wins, which was a big shock for a great many people. And I thought,
it sure
oh
was.
My gosh, this family basically, yeah, it landed in one country and they're waking up in a completely different country. And I followed them for the next 4 years, basically, kind of chronicling their life in Trump's America.
Right, so it's actually based on a real family. And obviously they'd have to open up to you and tell you everything about themselves, would they?
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was a real challenge. I remember early on, like day two, I found a local architect who's Syrian who I asked if he would be my translator. His name was Mohammed Afez. And he said, Jake, look, I got to be honest with you. I don't think this is going to work. You don't speak Arabic. You're not Syrian. You're Jewish. There are many barriers to becoming close to these folks, and I think that the chances that it's going to work are slim. I mean, he basically almost talked me out of trying. And I said, well, let's go and meet them. Maybe we'll get lucky. And we did. We got really lucky. The family that I met from the very start welcomed me in and was eager to tell their story. And for me, it was very hopeful because this is this age of profound distrust between, you know, the other people who are different from us. And yeah, we were quite different. I was from this family, and yet we grew to trust one another, and they entrusted me with telling their story.
Which I can imagine is some story. I mean, even before they get to America, the story of the country they're coming from, how they've come to lose so much and leave behind so much in itself must be very, very difficult.
Yeah, it was. And to be honest, I didn't fully appreciate what they'd been through until, I would say, a number of months in this country. Like, it kind of came out in pieces. And so they had left homes in Syria, and then they had spent a few years in Jordan, and then they came to the States. And I didn't really know what had happened to them in Syria. So one day I was talking to the teenage son, Naji, who's really the protagonist of the story. And he was saying to me that it's hard for him when people treat him like a kid here. And I asked him why. And he said, well, I stopped being a kid when I was 10 years old. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, when I was 10, my dad was taken by the security forces, and I was left to go into the streets to gather copper and to buy food for the family and going through abandoned buildings and jumping over bodies. And he started to tell me this. And it was then that I started to understand what this family had been through, and the kind of the depths of what they had escaped.
Right. And when they come to the new world, there's kind of two levels going on. One is just for them as people, what it's like to try and find their way in this new world where everything is unfamiliar to them, and going to school is new. And that must be daunting.
It was very daunting. That's absolutely correct. Not knowing the language, not having a car, not having family, not having much money. And what happens is, so it's interesting because initially, as you point out, it was a New York Times series, and there was an update on them in the Times every week, so you could follow in real time how this family was faring. And they were doing pretty well. They were starting to acclimate. The kids were in school. The dad is doing in job training. It looked like they were on their way, and then they received a death threat, a credible death threat. Someone called them up, knew their name, knew their address, and told them if they didn't leave, they were going to be killed. And the FBI got involved, the local police got involved, and it uprooted them yet again. And one thing that I didn't really appreciate until I started really getting to know the family better is that it was Naji, the 14-year-old boy, who had pushed for them to come to America. He was the one who really had this kind of optimistic belief that life would be better here. So when the death threat occurs and the family has to move again, and their kind of image of America is kind of, if not shattered, tarnished, they kind of turn on Naji and say, you know, right, especially his sister, and says, is this the great America you were talking about? And I was following this all. I mean, I was there with them the two nights after the death threat. I was watching this. It was an odd thing to be kind of witnessing all of this. But yes, their life in America had its own very real challenges.
Right. It sounds fascinating. It's in graphic novel form. The graphic novel that I think most people think about, so it caught my attention, was the Mouse one, Art Spiegelman, wasn't it? Many years ago. The graphic novel does add a certain kind of, I don't know, drama to a story, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I'm with you on Mouse. I remember picking that book up, and I like to read before I go to bed, and usually to kind of calm myself down. And I thought, like, oh, a comic. And I started reading Mouse, and it was just so chilling. I couldn't read it at night. And it was surprised me to think that, like, you know, comic, we typically think of Charlie Brown or Calvin and Hobbes, and we kind of think of it in a humorous or kind of benign way. But the comic can also be chilling, and I think that's what Spiegelman proved with Mouse, and it was very much something that we wanted to have in this book. So there are moments of levity, there's moments of humor when the family's adjusting to the house and settling in, and but there's also a whole flashback chapter to Syria, where, you know, I think that at least we hope to kind of convey some of that mouse-like intensity.
Yeah. Great. It sounds great. Jake, thank you very much for joining us today. Pleasure talking to you, and continued success, I better say, as well. Jake Halperin there, the co-author of Welcome to the New World, Waking Up in Trump's America, a graphic novel, as we pointed out.
Moncrief on News Talk.